You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere. Here are your hosts, Matthew Leach and Paul Hagan.
Hello and welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, along with Paul Hagan. We'll be joined in just a moment by MLB.com's Ian Brown. And Ian covers a pretty radically made-over club that didn't rebuild but kind of restocked for next year. Do you think this team is in a position to be back in contention again next year, Paul?
I think the really interesting thing to me is that they traded John Lester, their ace pitcher, and now they have a chance at least to sign him back. From what he said, he wanted to pitch for the Red Sox. They say they want him. It doesn't happen very often that a guy hits the market and then comes back to the team that traded him. But if the Red Sox can pull that off, I think this has certainly been a coup for them at the deadline.
Yeah, I think that'll be really essential for them because otherwise it's not clear what they'll have in the starting rotation. But they've got a reconfigured offense, and I think that it's going to be kind of exciting to see what they've got and for them to see what they've got and make some establishments and decisions over the last 2 months of the season.
Now stepping in to talk on MLB.com Extras is MLB.com Red Sox beat reporter Ian Brown. Ian, did you have a nice relaxing day last Thursday?
Yeah, wasn't too much going on. Went to the beach. It was a crazy day. I don't honestly remember a day quite like that where you just had a trade first thing in the morning, and then just it seemed like on the hour there was another trade. A World Series championship team kind of dismantled in one day.
It was a really fascinating sequence of moves because on the one hand they parted with a lot of key pieces. On the other hand, they didn't part with those pieces in order to get prospects. It looked like they basically were getting a head start on 2015. What was the kind of thought process? What were the goals? Really, what was the strategy for this club going into deadline day this year?
Yeah, I think it was exactly what you just said, was to really have a focus on next season. Because look, the Red Sox are playing in Boston. And the fans don't want to hear about let's reload and be good 3 years from now. This just doesn't fly there. And the other thing is, the fans have been watching prospects all year. They've been watching Bogarts. They've been watching Bradley. Vasquez came up recently. The team has prospects. And they need some guys who can make an impact right away. They need some bats, and they definitely got that with Cespedes. They hope they got that in Alan Craig, although his offense has kind of taken a mysterious downturn this year. So they just looked at the winter and they didn't see the bats available this winter. So they felt like this was a great opportunity to do it now, and they do see arms on the market this winter. So they say, let's address the offense now and spend much of the offseason trying to upgrade the pitching staff.
So the big piece they brought in, big name, obviously, was Yoenis Cespedes, and he's a really interesting guy who might be a really good fit for Fenway. He's also only there for a year and a half. Is there any worry about that, or are they not? They just figure you get him and you take advantage of what you got now? And also, is there any talk about maybe locking him up for the longer term?
Yeah, I don't think they're worried about it because simply, look, the guy they traded for him, John Lester, he's got even less time than that. He's a free agent at the end of this season. So they get an extra year out of Cespedes than they get with Lester. And the way they look at this gives them a kind of trial run to see how he fits. And, and from Cespedes' standpoint, he can see how much he likes Boston. I think that they're confident that he can kind of relish in this atmosphere. Some guys come to Boston and it goes one of two ways. They're either kind of overwhelmed by all the pressure, or they're sort of they take their game to another level with all the electricity. And I think that they feel that might be what happens with Cespedes. And also, I think a guy like Ortiz, the ability for Cespedes to be around a guy like Ortiz, who can be sort of a big brother, sort of mentor to him. I think that they think that can have a profound impact too. So, they know the risk. They know he could leave after next year, but like we said, they're trying to contend next year. So if he helps them make a playoff run next year, I think they still look at this trade as a success.
It's worth noting that a year ago, Cespedes probably wouldn't have been considered the big get on this day. They brought in a guy in Alan Craig who not that long ago was an MVP, borderline MVP candidate, pure hitter, a guy I watched a lot in St. Louis and really like as a hitter. but also a guy who's taken a big step back this year and a guy who the Cardinal organization cut bait on a little over a year after committing to him long term. What's the Red Sox read on him? Do they view this as just a four-month slump? Do they view this as a guy who, when he gets healthy, is going to hit? Is there some mechanical flaw they can fix? I mean, what do they think they've got in Alan Craig?
Yeah, I think they think they've got a guy who could really come back pretty quickly because, you know, you look at his track record of, you know, the last 3 years have been really pretty good. And this is, you know, a three-month period where maybe, you know, he's coming off some pretty serious injury that he had late last season, but they think that that kind of impacted his off-season training and also might have messed up some things mechanically for him. So, you know, to be honest, I think that they think they might be able to fix him, you know, and I'm not sure the Cardinals were in love with trading him in the first place, but look, the Cardinals, you know, they're trying to win a World Series too. It's not every day you can get a guy like John Lackey, you know, at the trade deadline. So I think that, you know, both sides looked at what they can benefit from it, and I think that Red Sox think that Craig could be a really big part of what they do next, not just next season, but he's under contract for several years at a pretty affordable rate if he hits like he did the last couple of years.
Right, that's the thing. That's a really good deal if he is healthy and back, and it's kind of a scary deal if he's hurt and not right.
yeah, exactly. So, you know, you have to take a risk this time of year sometimes, and the Red Sox definitely did. You know, I think the Lester Cespedes trade actually went over much better with the fan base, even as popular as Lester is, than this trade with Lackey, just because they would have had Lackey under control for next season. It's debatable he would have pitched under the minimum for Boston like he's going to with St. Louis. He had hinted before that he might just retire rather than take that money, so I'm not sure what was going on there. But, yeah, I mean, with Craig and with Kelly, there's some question marks there. But, you know, I guess credit Ben Cherington, you know, for taking a risk. Yeah, you have to do that sometimes.
It's a rare trade where fans of both teams are unhappy. You know, the other part of all this is that's been hinted about that obviously nobody really knows right now is that there's still some idea that maybe John Lester comes back. They doesn't seem like they're anywhere close with him over the course of the season. Do you think that's realistic, or do you think that's just kind of dream casting?
No, I really wouldn't rule out John Lester coming back. I know it hasn't happened very often, you know, over history where you trade a guy at the deadline and becomes a free agent and then he comes right back to you. But you know, Lester's got a really unique relationship with the Red Sox. I mean, this is a team that he went through cancer with at 22, and they really just opened up to him and just kind of took care of him and saw him through that. He loves the city. He feels connected to the city. And, you know, I wonder if part of the Red Sox, as they started to fall out of contention, and, you know, like you said, they hadn't made the progress on this contract that they wanted to. They really did want to get something done, but Lester kind of had his blinders on and just wanted to focus on the season, and that's fine. Some guys are like that. But I'm wondering if, as they fell out of contention, they were like, you know what, maybe we're better off as a franchise, you know, just trading him now, getting something for him, and then if we're going to sign him, if we're going to, you know, spend all this money on it, maybe make a run in the offseason. And then we have the best of both worlds. We've traded it for something, a guy who maybe hits 30 home runs for us next year, and then maybe we get him back to win 15 to 18 games. So I think it's going to happen. I don't know, but I honestly would not rule it. I don't think it's a pipe dream either.
It would be a big boost to them, and it would be about the biggest boost you could come up with aside from having Clay Buchholz be good again. What in the world is going on with him?
Oh, my gosh. That is so hard to put a handle on. Just watching him the other night against the Yankees was unbelievable because, you know, he just had no command on his fastball at all and no put-away pitch. And that's been the thing watching him this year where he's just been unable to put guys away. And I still think that the team thinks that he's healthy and they think that it's just mental with him. And we've seen this with him in the past where when things go bad for him, they go really, really bad. It's happened a couple different times in his career. He's come back from it before, so I think they're just still hoping that there's something there. And that's why, you know, that's one of their real goals for this last 7 weeks of the season here is for Clay Buchholz to bring some sort of confidence, you know, into the off season. And, you know, they don't really know, you know, why he's pitching like this. Yeah, there's some mechanical things that have gone awry for him, but, you know, he just isn't making the adjustment to this. And his body language is not good right now. It seems like every time he gives up a hit, he drops his shoulders, and he's just taking so long in between pitches, you know, because he's just trying to figure things out as he goes. So it's a huge concern right now.
Is he missing? Is he nibbling, or is it both?
Yeah, I think he is nibbling a little bit because he just doesn't have, like I said, he just doesn't have confidence in his stuff right now, and that's what kind of bewilders them right now, is that they look at this guy, he should be so good, and he has such a, you know, we saw what he can do when he's at his best last year. The first 8 to 10 weeks of the season, I thought he was as good as any pitcher in the American League last year, including Scherzer. He was that good last year. And then to go from that to this, you know, I don't know if I've ever seen a guy go from what he was the first 2 months and change of 2013 to what he's been for just about all of 2014, just the one extreme to the other. I'm trying to scratch my brain to think if I've ever seen, you know, parallels like that.
It's such a strange team, because even after the guys they've dealt, there are still guys who could do so much better. And Buchholz is obviously one of those. But, you know, the other topic that people seem to be talking a lot about is the two kids who are really supposed to be big parts of this offense, or at least parts of the lineup, Jackie Bradley Jr. and Xander Bogaerts. I know they're not one person. They're two different guys. But
yeah.
Do you think one or both of them is going to hit more than they have? I mean, Bogaerts looked so good early in the year and has just fallen off.
Yeah.
How important is this 2 months for these two guys?
Yeah, you know, these 2 months are important for these guys. And Bogaerts, look, I had a lot of confidence in Xander Bogaerts. I just think that this guy has so much ability. And people forget, you know, this guy, I believe he just turned 22 years old. Still a young guy and just didn't have a lot of minor league at-bats. So, I'm convinced that he's going to figure it out. Defensively, I think he's very happy that they traded Stephen Drew so he could go back to shortstop. Just one of those guys, he feels more comfortable playing shortstop. He feels he's a shortstop. And he's looked pretty smooth over there. It's just a matter of him learning how to hit the sliders and adapt to scouting reports. I think it's going to happen. Bradley, to me, I've been watching him all season. I still have no idea whether he's going to be able to hit or not. I mean, he's shown flashes where he's looked pretty good, and then he's just kind of taken a couple steps back. But this is a pretty bad offense to have over a full season. You know, he's got an OPS below 600, and, you know, if you were playing for a contending team right now, even as great as his defense is, and I think that Bradley has played center field as well as anyone in the major leagues this season, he has just been unbelievable to watch out there. But for a contending team, if they were contending, which they're not, but I don't think you could carry a guy in your lineup in the American League has got an OPS below 600. So he's really got to figure this out. These last 2 months might be as important for him, I think, as any single player on this entire team. And, that, you know, and for them, too, because they have to figure out, look, can this guy play center next year? Or are we going to have to go out and get somebody else?
Yeah, I mean, for as much as they've already done, they still have a lot that they need to figure out. And I guess the advantage is they've got 2 months to figure it out. Ian Brown, thanks for joining us on MLB.com Extras, and thanks, everybody, for listening.